His life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied? Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I'd like to share just a few thoughts from Scripture that will also help to kind of set the foundation of what we're doing here this morning, so that you'll be able to see, even if you're visiting with us today, that this giving of testimony, this talking about salvation, this believing and then being baptized, it all comes and flows right out of the Scriptures. So we want you to be able to see that this morning. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Now today's going to be a great day. It is a great day. And the sunshine, it's a little warm out there. We'll give some details when we go outside here in a bit or so. But let's just enjoy the Scriptures. Let's enjoy what God's doing in people's lives. And let's enjoy here in the testimonies this morning. So I'm going to read Acts chapter 8, just as verses 1 through 13. And really this morning, I'm not trying to exegete the whole passage. I'm just trying to go through and highlight a couple of things that will be pertinent for us this morning. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul approved of his execution. Of course, we are talking about Stephen's stoning that was preached about in the last couple of weeks in Acts chapter 7. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him, and they saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in the city. Underline verse 8. But there was a man, this is a weird story that we'll look at next week, I'll just read it now. There was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. Do you see the problem with that right there? They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip, and seeing signs and great miracles performed, even he was amazed. I just want to give three highlights, and then we'll move to the testimonies here this morning. Just a couple of thoughts out of this text that we'll be in next week as well. Let me just give you the three thoughts, and then we'll just go back and look at them just very quickly. I want you to see the importance of the word scattered. The importance of the word scattered. We'll look at that in just a second. I want you to see the advancement of the gospel to Samaria. That's huge in the flow of the book of Acts. We'll talk more about that next week as well. And then I want you to see the joy of the salvation of sinners. The joy of the salvation of sinners. Well, let's look at the importance of the word scattered. So look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. And Saul approved of his execution, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So Stephen's death by stoning was a catalyst by which the gospel moved outside of Jerusalem. It was a catalyst. And if you have a Bible, turn over to Acts chapter 11, and verse 19. And I think sometimes, even though we spent 3 weeks preaching on Stephen, I think the stoning of Stephen was an unbelievable catalyst to the first century church. It says in Acts 11 and verse 19, "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except for the Jews." So as has been preached over the last 3 weeks, the stoning of Stephen, which seems like a lost life. It's like, why would they take Stephen in his prime? God in His sovereignty knew that the death of Stephen would be the life of thousands and millions to come. It's the catalyst. Now look at the diagram that I have up here. If I get the next screen there. And we showed this at the beginning, and this is really the outline. Turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 as well. This is the outline for the book of Acts. Chapters 1 through 7 start at Ground Central Jerusalem. Starting at chapter 8, we move out to Judea and Samaria, which is really about a 25 to 30 mile radius. I'll show a map in just a little bit. And then when we get to Acts chapter 12 or 13 right in there, the gospel's going to go from Samaria and Judea then to the uttermost parts of the world. So we're at Acts chapter 8, the second major advance of the gospel according to God's plan. So Acts 8:1 is really just a commentary on Acts 1:8. That would be a good way to put it in your notes. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Be my witnesses in Jerusalem and on all Judea and Samaria," there's the second ring, "and then to the end of the earth." So the gospel is moving out according to God's plan, on God's timetable, according to God's means. Now the word scattered. So just give you a couple of thoughts here this morning, but look at the word scattered. It's in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, "And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria." And then skip down to verse 4, "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." That word scattered is a very specific, really a very special word. It's the literal word for sowing or broadcasting seed with the intent of growth or new life. There was numerous words in the Greek language for just casting stuff out just randomly or recklessly or like taking your ashes, and I've heard of people here even go out to Big Creek, and I've been a part of some funerals where they would take ashes and they would just scatter them over a field. There was never intent that life would come out of it. That's not the word here. This is a specific word that God chose for disciples to be scattered, and the word represents a sowing or a broadcasting of seed that will bring new life. So even the word God used to describe what was going on proves the sovereignty of God Himself. In Matthew 13, where Jesus talked about the four soils and the scattering of seed, it's the same exact word right there. It brings new life. Now, if you look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, how many does it say at the end of verse 1 were scattered? How many of the disciples does it say? Just yell out the word that's in your Bible. Anybody? Acts chapter 8, verse 1. How many were scattered? All. Okay, all of them, except for it has a little footnote, except the apostles. Well, isn't that weird? Everybody took off except for the apostles. They stayed back. So when the gospel goes to Samaria, it's not the apostles, the messengers. It's the lay people taking the gospel. And there could be any number of reasons why the apostles didn't take off. More than likely, Peter and John and the rest of them are saying, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, we scattered. We're not budging. I don't care if they take our life. We're staying in the most dangerous city for a Christian to live in right now, and that is Jerusalem. Now, Tertullian, a historian, said that the blood of the martyrs has been the seed of the church. And if you chase church history down through the ages, the Reformation, and even today, it's those who have given their life that have made the gospel go forth. Now, it's not our purpose this morning, and I'll try not to dive into it, but a life of ease does not advance the gospel. Sometimes I wonder, living in the country with all the benefits and the blessings that we thank God for every day, I wonder what a hindrance our ease is to the gospel from our lives. Now, if you look at Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says that they were all scattered. And then down in verse 4, it says, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. All of them were scattered. They're all preaching the word. They're all sharing Christ. Every believer, now listen, every believer is called to offer the good news of Jesus Christ to the worst of sinners that you meet along the way. That is how the gospel goes. It's not professional Dave getting paid a salary, having 40 hours a week, making 25 visits, marking them off, and sharing the gospel. It is you out amongst people living the life of Christ and sharing the beauty of Christ. So that's the word scattered. Second, and just real quickly, the advancement of the gospel to Samaria. We'll come back to this next week, but this is a major division in the book of Acts. I want you to look at the map of Samaria here. You can bring that up. So if you see the gold in the middle, Judea, you'll see that Jerusalem is and Bethlehem are right in the heart of Judea. And then right up above that is Samaria. And then above that is Galilee. And Jesus did the majority of his ministry up in Galilee. And then he came down to Jerusalem, of course, to be crucified at the end of his earthly physical life. But the Samaritans were the enemies of the Jews, or from the Jews' perspective, they were the evil ones. There was incredible hostility from those who lived in Judea and those who lived in Samaria. Those who lived in Judea, the Jews from Judea, considered them half-breeds and sellouts because they intermarried. John 4 and verse 9, you might remember, the woman at the well said, "Why are you talking to me? Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." That's what she said. No self-respecting Jew would ever go through Samaria. They would always go around. So if you're in Bethlehem and you're going to Nazareth, you're going to the other side of the Jordan River, you're going up and then you're coming back across. You're not going through Samaria. Praise God, Jesus didn't think like this, amen? Praise God. Just listen to Jesus' love for the Samaritans, and I just give you a hug. When he healed 10 lepers, only one returned and gave him thanks. Guess who it was? Guess where they were from? Take a guess. Samaria. When Jesus needed an illustration of how to love one's neighbors, he told the story of the good, what? Samaritan. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he commanded that the gospel would go from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria. Jesus met the woman at the well in John chapter 4 and told her everything about herself. She went and told, and many, many, many believed. Jesus said in John chapter 4, somewhere around verse 35, Jesus said to the disciples, talking about Samaria, "Lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. They're ready to be picked." How true it was. Praise God, with Jesus, there is one gospel for all people, no matter your culture or your background. Amen? Praise God for that. And just one last thought that will lead right into the testimonies. The joy of the salvation of sinners. Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 8. I have meditated on this verse most of this week. and really this could be our theme verse for the ministry we want to do in Polk City and in Ankeny and a little bit north and a little bit south and a little bit west. So there was much joy in that city, not in the cities, in that city where the gospel was preached. It says in verse 12, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They believed, they were persuaded about the good news that Christ had died for them, they could have their sins forgiven, that He cared about them, that He loved them, that they could have eternal life, they could have a fresh start. Do you believe, give me a hearty amen if you believe that, that the gospel is good news? Amen. It is great news. There's no better news. If you're here today and you have the disease of cancer and you're going to go to the doctor tomorrow and you want to hear good news and he says there's no cancer, that is good news, but it is not the greatest news. The greatest news is that Christ died for you. And you can be right for eternity, not just for this life. So always in Scripture, and that's why we're here this morning, there were people that were speaking the Word, common people going out telling people about Christ. And then there were people that were believing the good news, surrendering their life. And then the first step of obedience is baptism. There was great joy in that city. Joy, just let this soak in just for a second, is the settled assurance that I'm right with God and He is in control of all of the details of my life. Stephen knew he was right with God and he knew that he was called to preach the gospel, and as the stones flew, as we heard, he had a settled assurance. He had a joy in his heart. He looked up into heaven because he believed that God was involved in every detail, might I say, from the last couple of weeks, every rock that was coming his way. Joy is the natural response of somebody who knows Christ as Lord and Savior. Do people consider you a joyful person? You ought to ask yourself that. There's no bigger oxymoron in all of life than a gloomy believer. Psalm 144, verse 15 says, joyful are the people whose God is the Lord. Is that true of you and me? What a beautiful picture of the city. So there was much joy in that city. Now take the community that you live in. I live in Polk City. We have many who live in Ankeny and some in Madrid and some over there and some up here. Take the city you live in and use that and overlay that verse onto the community that you live. Can you say that? We talk about being involved in the community. Our goal ought to be that there is much joy in Christ in the community. Amen? That's what we ought to aim for. When sinners learn that they can receive God's forgiveness for all of their sins, by grace alone, apart from any human merit, they rejoice. Lakeside Fellowship should be a group of people who are celebrators of salvation. We highlight it, we promote it, we extend it, and we live for it. Celebrators of salvation. I'm so excited. I've heard every one of the seven stories that are going to be told here this morning, from young to old. I've heard every one. I've got an advanced fulfillment of joy in my life. And so we're going to ask them to come. We'll sing one song in between. We're going to start with the young people. But let me just have a word of prayer. Let's celebrate, if you're called Lakeside Home, let's celebrate the great salvation that's found in Christ alone.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message, or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.